Hi there, it's Amy Guth, host on WGN Radio.
And I'm Rex Hupke, a terrible columnist with the Chicago Tribune.
Discourse is at an all-time high in this country, and we're very civilized, and we're thoughtfully...
Shut up, Amy!
We're thoughtfully having conversations.
Stop it!
Where... Shut up! Shut up right now!
For God's sake!
I swear to God, I will go over
you.
Punch you! You! So, in a civilized way, let us take a look at what's happening in political headlines right now. Hi, friends. Welcome to another episode of Guth and Hupke on Politics. We're days away from the inauguration. That's a real thing that's happening.
I have a sad trombone just playing on a loop everywhere I go. Womp, womp, womp.
As well you should. There's an app that you can just have it at the ready all the time. So here's my concern, Rex Hupke. That is, I feel like a lot of people in this country have a problem with apathy. We've seen this many times. People go, never forget, and then promptly forget within 24 hours. And so I'm proud of us that we have continued to be pissed off for as long as we have, meaning from the election till now.
I think our rage...
our rage quotient is impressive.
Yes,
it's impressive. But I'm a little nervous right now, Rex, because I'm afraid now after the inauguration, like then it's on. It's happened, right? And so I feel like there will be a little incentive for people to take the foot off the gas a little bit. Because they're like, well, nothing I can do for 4 years. It is what it is. And that's the opposite of the real thing.
Correct. I agree with you. And I think that the key to that is... people need to pay attention to the little things.
The littlest. The littlest things. And fight them if they do not work for you.
Right.
Fight the hell out of them and do the things. Now, as I say that, I want to put a caveat on it because I got some grievances to air today. And let's begin here. So when I say fight the things, I mean actually do something. I have bitched and moaned many times about slacktivism and the I'm an activist because I spoke out on Facebook. No, that means you can type. No.
And you have some time to while away.
Were you going to say whip away?
No, I was wail away. I mean, wow, God damn it. There it goes again. And sorry. That was early in the show for me to screw something like that.
You turned Ross Perot mighty early in this week's show.
Sorry.
Well, yes, that, the thing that you just said. Right. I just lost my damn train of thought because
you came into this, you're so right. You're just like fired up. You're very passionate about something. And
like
I just completely derailed it with my stupidity. I apologize.
Turtles are funny. I really forgot what I was about to say. Damn it. That undermines my credibility a little bit.
I am a terrible podcast partner.
And you can't even make your fire jokes anymore because Trump ruined that too.
Yeah.
Okay. So.
Slacktivism.
Here's what I was going to say. Yes. So while posting to social media is a part of activism, it is not all of activism. It's important to do the things, to call your lawmakers, to write letters, to donate time and money to causes, et cetera. And part of that also that you need to do is to educate yourself and stay informed. And the reason I bring this up is because there are some... women's marches planned all around the country, in fact, all around the world, following the inauguration. And I think that's great. However, I'm starting to get a little bit pissed off about them because as I'm speaking to people that I believe are moral and intelligent people who will be attending them, and this is by no means everyone, but I'm starting to get this bit of chatter about why people are going, and those reasons are becoming very increasingly disappointing. To go just because, you know, fuck yeah, I want to be part of something is not good enough for me. And in fact, I think that this is controversial, so I'm like struggling with saying this, but frankly, I would almost rather you stay home if you just don't know why the hell you're there, because I think that's doing more harm than good. I think it's important to be very clear about why you're doing things, and because that's going to drive your actions during that day. If you're just there because you want to be part of something, you have no incentive to behave in a smart and strategic way. You could just easily get caught up in whatever crowd like mob mentality happens, and that's a real thing. Like that is a thing. Even if you go in with like great intelligence and good intentions, it is possible for human beings to get swept in a crowd and things happen that otherwise you would never do.
Sure.
It is a real thing. So you have to be very clear about why you're there. And I don't like the president is not quite enough. I mean, which is not to say you shouldn't go if you don't like the president. Yes. But you also need to be clear about the other things you're doing. I'm very, very worried that people are just going to like go do this march the day following the inauguration and then not do a damn thing. Because that like just standing there is not enough. And it's really, really bugging me. And I'm seeing a lot of shit on social media of just like right now. People are making their signs and like the pink hats. Everybody's making their little VJJ hats. Mm-hmm. And they're funny. I don't know what everybody else's lady parts look like. My lady parts do not have little points on them, but whatever. That's neither here nor there. That is another issue that we will
for your other podcast
address yes. at the next women's symposium. Ladies, what
the hell is up with that?
What's happening right now? But everybody's knitting the little pink hats, mm-hmm. and showing their signs, and like this is the outfit that we're all going to wear, and we're going to go in a group, and that's fine, and that's. But I'm afraid we're going to take our foot off the political gas pedal to put it. I'm concerned about this because America has let me down before. We've let each other down with this apathy that sweeps in when we give a shit about. The wrong things.
Right.
And it's fine and important to feel part of something and to even make the day joyful and to make a damn hat. And it's fine to make a sign and to coordinate your outfits with your friends. If nothing else, they'll help you find them in the crowd, but whatever. But like, let's be clear about why we're going. And I'm having trouble getting a straight answer on that from people right now. And that's really starting to bother me in that, like, I couch this often as like, half-hearted white feminism, but it's this transcends all races. This is just in fact, it transcends feminism. This goes to a lot of social movements in which people just sort of like, yeah, that looks like some engagement.
Right.
I'm going to go do it.
Yeah.
Do the things. But like, you got to be clear why you're doing that. I mean, it's not enough to just stand outside Trump Tower and point and do things. You have to have a clear why. Like, what do I want to accomplish? I think that matters for every single act of civil disobedience, every act of protest, every bit, you have to be, why, what is my goal? If you just say, I want to organize a march, you have to say, if the march works, what will have been accomplished? Same with a boycott. I think we've like really lost sight of what it means to have a boycott. People just go, this company has taken this stance. I don't agree with it. I'm boycotting them.
Right.
Okay. Is that saying they will never again get my dollars, even if they change their stance and make some kind of effort of apology or ever? Like, just be clear on that. I just think I lose a lot of sleep over semantics and things like that. But nonetheless, we do have exaggerative language that is troubling because we're not clear on the things we're saying and we're not. I think it's only feeding that terrible apathy.
For a while now, I think we have been in an age of non-specific protesting.
Yeah, and non-specific protesting. That's perfect.
And you see a lot of people, even if you go to a big protest, there'll be during some of the Iraq War protests, for example, there would be like seven, eight, ten, whatever other groups there protesting, like, you know, dolphins or so. I mean, you know, it would just be random. And you're like, wait a minute, people are just kind of hangers on. Some of the Iraq War protesters were saying different things.
Right.
It's about oil. It's about blood. It's about murder. It's like, get on the same page, gang.
So I was at several of those and I was asking people, like with a tape recorder in hand, I was asking people, you know, what brings you here today to this march? In particular, there was one that was, the plan was to get to the outside of the Boeing building and protest its involvement, Boeing's involvement. And I remember it was very, very cold that night. And it was so late by the time the crowd got to Boeing that I was like, all the executives left 3 hours ago. Like, no one's there to give a damn about what you're saying. But nonetheless, I remember, you know, just with this tape recorder going and, you know, what brings you here today? You know, why are you marching? Why are you here? Why are you protesting? And many people could not really give me an answer that wasn't just about hype. You know, there were several that said something, like very young people that said something like, this is our Vietnam. And I'm like, right, but what does that mean to you? Specifically,
right.
What are you saying? Well, my parents protested Vietnam and this is my chance. So you just want to protest some shit or you like, what are you? And then they, you know, they would get a little like, "Hey, man, fuck you," and right, you know, because yeah. I'm just asking them to
corporatist,
right, yeah. right. Like, whose side are you on? You must be a spy. No, I'm just asking you to clarify what you're saying here. I just want to be clear. And then I remember that particular night there were, you know, like the people at the front. I was kind of like walking along the side and you know, taking notes and interviewing people and all that. And I remember there was a chant going that from the top, the front of the line that was saying, drop Bush, not bombs. And then somebody changed it to drop bombs on Bush. And everybody flipped out because it was like, and this fight erupted among the organizers of, are you saying to commit an act of violence? Because we're here to push a peaceful pacifist mission. And the other group was saying, we want him out even if by any means necessary. And then this other group said, yeah, I'm with them because the true definition of liberalism is to, you know, serve the most people by any means. And I was like, oh, my God, this is a clusterfuck.
Exactly. Yeah. I've seen that many times before, too. It's like you can't get on the same page. It's like, what do we want? Or what do we want?
Something.
When do we want it?
Whenever.
Yeah, we'll get back to you on that. It's like, what is your deal? Like, come on, man. You're wasting my, especially as a reporter. I'm always like, oh, fuck you. Come on. I just walked 8 miles for this.
I just got sent out here in the rain. Yeah. Give me a damn sound bite.
Exactly. It's just and then they start chants and some kind of pick up. Others don't. You're like, oh, God.
And it's real sad when a chant goes like only 3 rounds.
Right. Yeah. And it just sort of. I agree with you. And I think that. But I think you're spot on about the women's marches, you know, because they're all over the place, like you said. And I say this hesitantly, but I believe it's true. And so here people are going to need to hear the whole thought before they get mad at me. But the women's march is not going to do anything. Donald Trump will not care. And if anything, frankly, it will just feed into his, you know, they're out to get me.
And if one thing goes wrong,
yeah, it's a disaster.
I'm telling you, the stakes are so damn high for that march. If one thing goes wrong, it is going to be a mark against everybody's good intentions.
Exactly. So now, that said, I'm glad people are doing it, and I support anybody mm-hmm. that wants to, like you were saying at the beginning, anybody that wants to protest, I applaud that. And I think
just
it's
good.
Just
be clear why you're going.
But I think what matters about the women's marches is that you leave those with some kind of organization and some kind of plan for what you're going to do every time Paul Ryan mm-hmm. brings up something about defunding Planned Parenthood or any number of things or Obamacare, how you're going to set up call banks, how you're going to do these sorts of things. If that happens, then it will have been a success. But on the day of the women's march in Washington, it will do absolutely nothing.
Like by definition,
right.
it will be a piece of history, but right. It won't be.
And good for you for
and like,
but,
hell yeah.
But you know, no, I mean, if that's all you do, you didn't do jack.
You did nothing.
Right.
Let it be but a pep rally.
Yes, exactly.
Truly. Like, let it be the pep rally on Friday afternoon in the auditorium. But what really happens is over the weekend on the field.
Right.
Exactly. Truly. Mm-hmm. And let it be but a pep rally. Let it be, okay, I've met with some allies and we're going to go do the following. I mean, I would much rather, why not connect with people right now? Like, well, like, okay, for example, like right now there's a lot of shit going down in Kentucky about the abortion laws. Mm-hmm. Much better that we put some focus on helping our sisters out in Kentucky, because now there's, I believe, one facility in Kentucky that allows abortion because the other facility lost its license conveniently. It was never approved in time for it to operate as an abortion facility. There's all this crap happening and the whole like ultrasound requirement and fetal heartbeat part, like that's all part of it. So, like, why don't we put some effort into very strategically helping out, people in Kentucky and in Texas where also abortion laws are under a bit of, you know, duress. And then we have that whole bizarre thing. This is a big time tangent about the embryos. Have you heard about this? Okay. So Sofia Vergara and her ex-fiance partner,
oh,
whatever.
Yeah, the lawsuit.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So that lawsuit's happening. He's suing her because they froze a couple of embryos and then they broke up.
Right.
So he's suing her saying, like, hey, I have, they're, you know, a viable embryo. They have rights. There is now a lawsuit that has been filed in Louisiana on behalf of the embryos.
Hmm. Wow. I had not heard about that part of it. No.
Now, I'm sure that will get thrown out, but probably not as easily as we think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because Louisiana in particular has some really particularly discouraging laws about the definition of personhood.
Yeah. Right.
So anyway. that's some weird shit right there.
Yeah.
Now imagine if that goes through, like this person who is filed on behalf of the embryos, what's your plan? Like imagine you have, you and someone you are no longer with have frozen an embryo and that suddenly there's a requirement that it exists in the world.
Yeah.
What the hell?
Yeah.
That would be like its own strange little torture.
Yeah. No, it makes no, yeah.
And they're asking like they both have to, you know, terminate their parental rights, or at least she does. And I'm like, this, why is it so impossible to just give a woman autonomy over her body? I don't, no one has ever given me a straight answer for why we can't just be trusted with our own body parts.
Well, you're not very trustworthy. No, I'm just.
That's the best answer anyone has given. That, like, well, because men know better.
Actually,
tell
Amy.
Me more. Well, actually, the thing let about me, that is,
let me mansplain.
Tell me, mansplainer.
Let me mansplain that embryo news for you.
We need to make like a mansplaining superhero.
Yes.
And he has a little theme, and he can just come in. We can just like play a little jingle every time there's like a, well, actually,
mansplainer.
Oh my gosh, that, I feel like if you made a mansplainer superhero video, you would be internet famouser than you already are.
Oh, thank you.
Quickly.
Who could imagine?
But nonetheless, I'm saying there's real work to do. And I'm not saying a march is not real work, but there's like, you, there's, unless you're like, I will chain myself to this tree so you will not cut it down.
Mm-hmm.
Or I will throw my body in front of this tank so that you cannot attack the city. You're not really doing anything unless you say this is a pep rally and this is a show of solidarity as like a warning shot to say we're not going to just, you know, we're not on board with all the things you're proposing and it's about to get real and we're going to fight you. But I'd almost like, maybe that's just me. Maybe I'm just secretive and weird in that way. But like, I'd rather just do the work.
Yeah.
I don't need to announce it. I'll just do it.
Right. That's what I was going to say. And I would argue, and again, I don't mean to, I think the Women's March is a great thing.
Hell,
I don't,
yeah. So I'm not, for the trying, record, we right. both endorse the Women's March.
Yeah, this is not an effort to demean that. It's an effort to focus the...
Even though you're a mansplainer.
Yes. Actually.
Well, actually, ladies, yeah. Let me explain to you about actually, why the march is good.
I know a lot about marching and...
I actually know quite a bit about marching.
A man's legs are more suited for marching than a woman's. It's just biology. No, but the imagine, say, the, I don't know how many they're expecting, 100, 250,000, whatever people, not just women.
Let's say shitloads.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, exactly. Who show up for the march. Imagine if all of those human people, instead of doing that, or in addition to doing that, went out into communities where there are high levels of people who supported Donald Trump and went door to door. And talk to some people about some stuff. For example, there was just a very interesting data out this week that showed the number of abortions is at an all-time low.
All-time low, yeah.
And
I
that's
that.
Because we have birth control, we have better education in schools, and you know this, that, and the other thing.
And
because
most ladies I know just doubled down and got like 9 IUDs all at once.
Right, exactly.
Also that.
Right, exactly. The Costco IUD option. I will take 5 of your buckets of IUDs, please. Bucket O IUD.
I'll take 5 of your finest IUDs, please.
But no, I mean, seriously, you got, because look, it's the problem that we're going to face, and I honestly think it may come to having to go door to door to get people to believe the things that are actually true. Because what we're facing right now is, as the media, if they continue to delegitimize the media in the eyes of many Americans,
right,
then it's one thing to hear that on the TVs and then to look at a newspaper or a website or watch a CNN or whatever and mock it and say, that's fake news. It's another thing if somebody comes who's a nice person to your door and starts talking to you about something and actually shows you some information that is factual. You know, they still might not believe you, but there's more that are going to believe you. And then you might all of a sudden start to change some minds. So the point being, the volume of people that are at that march needs to be the same as the volume of people who are willing to go out and find ways to change people's minds and to get people to understand fact from fiction and help us navigate everything that's about to happen.
Yes. But then I would say,
end of podcast.
End scene forever. But then I would say that, so say millions of people go knocking on doors and have conversations and enlighten people to the truth, even half success rate,
mm-hmm.
right? They're like, oh, Oh, damn. I didn't realize that. Okay.
Rush Limbaugh's been lying to me all these years.
But then you still need to give someone an activity. That's the thing. It's like, I don't think people know what the hell to do. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, now I know. Now I'm mad. I'm going to go to Facebook and be an activist. Like, you need to then hand someone an activity.
Yeah.
Which I think is really important to do.
Yeah.
You have to give people a verb.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that.
And just stewing and bitching, not good enough verbs. Mm-hmm. You need more verbs.
Yeah.
So.
We're pro-verb.
I'm just pro-action. I'm just so tired of apathy. Apathy is really, it really bothers me. And I, you know what? The Water Reclamation Commissioner, Deborah Shore, I heard her talking about just recently about she was encouraging people from the GLBTQ community to run for office. And she made a point that I thought was really good. And it applies to anybody from any group. And it really is about, first of all, you have to be represented. You know, diversity of opinion comes from representing, being part of boards and companies and leadership and things like that. But also, it is much harder to deny a bill or a any kind of project or ignore something. It's much harder if you know, like in her case, she was saying if the other people part of that project know the, know your partner and have been in your home and have dealt with you on a day-to-day basis as their colleague, it's going to be much harder to talk about this theoretical group and deny the rights of them. And I really heard that deeply and I thought that was such a brilliant point because it's such a simple one, but it's so very true that representation and involvement matter so very much. It's one thing to just, To be in a large protest, it's immediately just makes it a group. The women, the women's march, the marchers.
Right.
But like deliberate action in a person-to-person way, getting elected to a public office, exposing truth and giving people a doable action, like shit like that matters. And I just don't think, I don't know, are we just so lazy that we just don't get to that point? I mean, I was heartened to see a week ago during, during like all the ACA action, people were posting on social media, here's a script of what to say when you call a lawmaker. Mm-hmm. Don't let, I don't know what to do, be an excuse.
Yeah.
And I thought that was great and really helpful.
And they point, I've seen a lot of people also provide that information and point out how little time it takes to actually do the thing, to call. They're like, it'll take you 10 minutes. I just did it. Please go do it. So yeah, I agree with that. I think, but even with the ACA, and I mean, what we're seeing now, and it's powerful, and it's going to really hamper what the Republicans want to do, is a lot of people are now coming out of the woodwork to talk about how much the ACA has helped them and how screwed they're going to be if they take the ACA away. Good. Where were you?
Right.
Why weren't you up talking about how good this thing is back when?
Right. Posting on Facebook that I see with your other 300 or whatever friends, not helpful. That's just going to make me go, well, that sucks. That didn't work.
Why weren't you out talking to your friends and neighbors who thought Obamacare was evil and telling them, hey, you know what? I'm on Obamacare and here's what's happening to me and it's actually good. So that's the right. I mean, people are activists when things happen to them. And all of a sudden they're like, whoa, what? And that's what's happened with this election, frankly. Yeah. And I still say, you know, you awful, awful people that didn't vote, you're all fired up now that things didn't go the way you thought they would or the way you wanted them to. Okay, where were you back in November when you were supposed to be out voting, for God's sake, or even before that? So, that to me is slacktivism also. It's not becoming active until it's impacting you.
And I think it's also slacktivism to say that your job ends once you've elected somebody.
Yeah.
Because in my mind, part of being an engaged citizen is I will elect you and then I will hold you accountable for the things you said.
Right.
And so that's why I got super pissed off a couple weeks ago here on this fine program. Because I was talking about the people that are like, well, no, I don't think he's a racist and I don't think he hates women. I voted for him for economic reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, fine. So then you should be right here next to everybody complaining and fighting and doing the things and calling lawmakers to make sure that it stays in alignment with your expectations about racism and misogyny. Period. I said it much angrily, much angrier when I first said it.
Angrierly
when I first said it, but this is a new era. This is a calmer Guth. I am harnessing my power for
hats
for pink hats
for March hats
that don't look like the lady parts I'm familiar with.
for
Have you seen them? Do you know what I'm talking about?
I do know what you're talking
about.
You're right.
So it looks like
Picasso-ish.
If you have not seen this hat, listeners dear, imagine, picture like the little paper pointy hat like a grill cook is going to wear, right? Mm-hmm. Now turn it sideways so the points are going out on top of your ears. Now make that out of pink yarn. Does that to you look like a vagina? A, yes. B, no. I pick B.
Yeah, I'm gonna go B as well on that one.
Just saying. I am not familiar with these vaginas that have spikes on them like that.
And we don't. And it's not a matter of being anatomically picky here. It's really just a gross misrepresentation.
I'm not trying to malign it. I just like opened Instagram today and I was like, well, that's a whole bunch of yarn vajayjays right there.
It's like an odd pink cake more than anything.
I keep wanting it to, no, it looks like a pink fortune cookie to me.
That's better.
Yeah. Cracked open. Mm-hmm. Whatever. I know what it don't look like.
You just turned pink fortune cookie into a euphemism, I'm afraid. So, hashtag pink fortune cookie.
Woo! Running off the rails today. Right. So, in summation, the streets will run with pink yarn vagina hats this weekend. And I just want it to count.
I want to go with to the march now and sell anatomically correct pink vagina hats. Just so I can walk around yelling, pink vagina hats. Anatomically correct pink vagina hats. Get them all there. Don't be fooled by those other ones.
Don't be fooled by imitation vaginas, lady.
Those look like goddamn fortune cookies.
Pink fortune cookies. Some poor woman who has worked very hard on her pink vagina hat is like, I never liked that Guth and Hupke anyway.
Don't be pink vagina hat-ish.
Look, hey, I'm pro-vagina here. I'm just like, here's what it is. This is really what's bothering me about it. Because, like, conceptual art is fine. Mm. Here's what's bothering me, is that they look a little bit silly. They're a little ridiculous. Mm. And I'm trying to eliminate all the possible ways that these marches will be discounted.
Yeah.
And I don't want people to go, what in the hell are all those women doing with little pink spiky hats? What's happening?
I think they'd be fine delivering the message without the hats, personally.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, the purpose of a march is like a large scale act of solidarity. Mm-hmm. We don't need to do the hat thing here.
Yeah.
We can just go. We can just do that, and it's fine. So I'm afraid of the mocking on that front. Also, like, look at history, because what I suggested is we should resurrect the yellow and blue sash from the suffrage era. Did anyone listen to me? No. They were too busy knitting pink vagina hats. Fine. And I realize, like, it's supposed to be thumbing your nose at Trump's comment about grabbing by the pussy. I get that. But still, like, I'm just looking to minimize the ways at which all the things can be discounted. And I think silliness is one way that it could be discounted. I think anything, as I said, anything going wrong with the march could be another. If there's anything, like, if one of the marches gets rowdy and there's any destruction of property, it's going to be like, look at these crazy women doing, you know, crazy, can't trust them with a uterus. Clearly, they were probably on the cycle. They don't know, right? Like, just all the nonsense.
They're slinging their embryos everywhere. Who knows what they're doing? Good Lord.
Slinging their embryos.
And whatnot. But I think that you're right. And I think that when dealing with what we're presently dealing with now, which is an incoming administration which has shown zero, in my humble opinion, zero class, zero effort to moderate a general tone of nastiness and attacking people, including civil rights icons and whatnot. I think everything you can do to take the high road and to not be that is a positive. And I'm not saying the hats are not taking the high road, but, you know, it's exactly what you're
saying. We're going to get so much shit about these hats.
Yeah, you just don't want to get why you just don't give them.
I'm
any
saying
hand?
You and I are going to get a lot of shit for maligning the hats.
Oh yeah, that's well.
I'm just like, it's not about the hat.
Yeah,
it's not about the hat.
It'd be funny if the hats are what finally drove me out of journalism after years of being harassed over all kinds of things. It was a hat comment that forced Rex
right.
to leave.
That's the
field.
Thing that ousts you.
No,
I just think it's important to stay so above reproach.
Exactly.
In dealing with this kind of stuff. And also, like, again, treat it like a pep rally. But even then, it's okay with me if you don't go. Like, that's no judgment here if someone doesn't go to that. I mean, I've heard lots of women saying, you have to go to the thing. Where should I meet you? Like, you don't have to do anything.
No.
Because it's a pep rally. And yes, numbers do matter. And if every single woman said, and every single human being said, well, it doesn't matter if I'm there or not, because look where that got us with voting. Right. If everyone had that attitude, it would get nowhere. Numbers do matter. But what matters most is what you do next.
Yes. If you're not there at the rally, but you are there when they're trying to repeal Obamacare or when they're trying to defund Planned Parenthood.
Rock and roll.
To try to stop it by taking action, making calls, volunteering, pro bono lawyering, whatever it is you have to do.
We're good.
Nobody's going to give a damn if you were at that rally or not because you're fighting the fight that needs to be fought.
Ooh.
I just went like, that was kind of a Jesse Jackson.
Oscar clip.
Yes. We must fight the fight that needs to be fought. Yeah, there we go.
What'd you say? Did you just call yourself Jesse Jackson?
Yeah, well, it sounded like something he would say. You know, he's very alliterative like that.
Yeah, yeah, he's a quotable dude.
He is quotable.
Yeah.
I once interviewed him while he was peeing.
What?
Well, I was trying to, he was at the Tribune. This is, I don't know.
And you chased him into the bathroom?
I guess I have to explain this now.
Oh, yeah. You can't just bring that up and be like, anyway.
He was at the Tribune, and I needed to talk to him for a story that I was doing. He was talking to the editorial board, and he came out, and I'm like, Reverend Jackson, can I get a couple minutes? And he's like, okay, can you walk with us? Because he was on a tight schedule. I'm like, sure, okay. And we're walking along, and I'm trying to get my question out. And then he just walks into the bathroom in the Tribune. And I'm like, okay, I guess I'm going in here, too. And because he didn't say, like, can you wait? And I'm like, all right. So I went in, and he's still talking as he's peeing. And I'm just sort of off to the side, like kind of looking at the wall and I'm taking notes, but I couldn't, you know, we were like literally mid quote and I'm like, okay, I guess I have to. And then he like finishes walking, he's still talking, washing his hands, still talking, going out. I think he talked until he got to the elevator and left. And I was like, okay, thanks. Well, that was weird. But anyway, very quotable.
That's a journalism high point right there.
Well, and we talk about a guy who can multitask too. That guy. I was like, wow, that's impressive. You just, because he never, I mean, he didn't break. There wasn't a minute like, oh, excuse me, I have to pee. Or
yeah, give me one second.
There was just, it he could have been doing a CNN interview and just kept peeing. Like, I mean, maybe, it was amazing. I was like, wow.
That's outstanding.
Yeah, it made for it. And then there was somebody else, of course, in the bathroom who kind of looked over and is like, what the hell is Rex doing? Like, why is he staring at the wall while Jesse Jackson pees?
You know, a lot of times when we're describing our colleagues, we say things like, that guy would stop at nothing to get the story. Or that guy will, like, go in the middle of the night and, like, brave all kind of weather and do all the things. And, you know, that guy's not even afraid of talking to a cop or a bereaved mother or whatever. Like, Rex Hupke just, like, leaps and bounds over all them just now.
Thank you.
I will follow you to the urinal to get my question to you.
Yes. Let me tell you, folks, that's real journalism right there. Bathroom journalism.
Capital J.
As we like to call it.
Yep. Bathroom journalism.
Sorry about the aside there.
That was a good one. That was a good one. So I'm concerned. I'm thrown off by the idea of our leaders are peeing. I know we all do, but nonetheless. So I'm just worried. I'm very worried, to be honest with you, because I'm afraid the marches are going to happen and then everybody's just going to share a lot of pictures on Facebook and Instagram of here I am at the march and look, I brought my daughter. And yay, it's time for girl power and let's get a pumpkin spice latte and we wear our Ugg boots and nothing will happen. And I just can't abide.
You can't even? Is that what you're saying?
I've really stopped saying I can't
I know,
even.
I know
you did don't. I tell you why?
Yeah, I think we
talked about it. I think it's the most, I've decided that saying I can't even is super elitist because
right.
I saw
you have the option to not even.
Yeah, you have the option to even. So I saw like an affluent white person on Facebook say, I can't even with all this racism. And I was like, well, good for you. Yes. Because some people can't put it down when it's inconvenient.
Right. Yeah. No, that's why I said it, though. I knew you didn't like it.
I can't even.
Pushback.
Right. So I'm just worried about the, you know, and I overthink this kind of shit. I do. I overthink the, sometimes it's okay to just like be basic, I suppose, I guess, right? I don't know. But like, I'm just worried about the apathy. I'm very concerned about it. And well, I don't want it to be just like, I was there and it was so fun and it was history. No, do something. Make calls. Do the things.
The t-shirt is, have you seen the t-shirt? It's awesome. Yeah. No, I mean, I'm just, that's what
oh, I was like, sorry, oh God, what are you about to say?
I don't do a very good frivolous woman at protest. I
you
guess.
Have to put on the UGG boots, Rex. Yeah. And then you magically get this voice and everything. And it's a question mark on
I'm better at doing a dumb guy. It's kind of more my thing, which I haven't really mastered.
Yeah, you do like stoner dude.
Yeah, and exactly.
I'll be UGG boots girl. Yes. You be mansplainer.
I'm going to stay in my lane here. Stay in your lane, Hupke. Don't go swerving into that. Oofa.
Oh, my God. Well, so when we meet again, the great American pep rally will have occurred.
Yes.
And I'm going to call it that. Not because I think if I just said that without context, people go, oh, are you just calling women cheerleaders? No. I'm saying it's to focus. The purpose of a pep rally is to pump everybody up and focus them. And that is what I hope the marches do. Because it's true. Just the act of marching doesn't, unless you're chaining yourself to a tree to stop it from being chopped down or throwing yourself in front of a line of military action or artillery or whatever, it itself doesn't do anything. It focuses and it organizes, and let it be that.
Yes. And anybody who listens to what you're saying or what we're saying and is bothered by that doesn't recognize that this is coming from a very good place. This is not saying you're goofy or silly or frivolous for wanting to go.
Hell no.
It's just saying.
I think it's important to go. Right. I just think it's important to be clear why you're going.
Right, exactly.
And to let it be a thing that focuses you around the action you're going to take for the next 4 years. Let it be a ceremony to commit yourself to, I have a lot to do, but look, I have a lot of people with me doing the same.
Yeah, exactly. And that should be the goal. You go and you leave motivated and you leave hopefully with some sense of organization and you leave with ideas and you are made better by the experience, not just you were part of the experience, but you know, you leave and are ready to be launched towards making the world somehow a better place. So, and I think that's good. And you know what? I think it's a good reminder for, I mean, everybody needs those reminders sometimes. We all get swept up in different things. And I think it's helpful for people to hear that, to be reminded, okay, it's more than just the moment. It is all the moments that follow. And mm-hmm. you've got to, you know, so, you know, I hope nobody is taking anything that's being said here in the wrong way. They shouldn't be, because it's all positive. It's all just like, hey, don't just think this is a one-off. This is not a one-off.
I mean, it's the same as with anything. It's like, it's not getting hired. It's performing the job. It's not getting married. It's having a successful marriage. It's not getting elected. It's holding, or it's not voting. It's holding people accountable to serve their constituents. It's not getting elected. It's how you behave in office. It's all of those things. It's not just the one act. It is what you do all the days after.
Yeah, totally. I agree 100%. And I think that's just good wisdom for people to keep in mind as they go into this.
I'm trying to keep a very positive mind. I'm trying to be like, no, this is different. People are mad. People are scared. They're going to fight hard. But I think the real tell will be what happens after the inauguration and after the marches.
Yeah, I agree. And what can you do? I mean, we just have to wait and see how it plays out. I mean, you know, I think that there are going to be real consequences from this election that people are going to feel. And
for years.
Yeah, and so I think that will keep people motivated, because these are not minor little ticky-tack things that are going to happen. These are like potentially big, you know, losing your health care, knowing someone who lost their health care, people having to go back to full-time jobs and abandon their entrepreneurial mm-hmm. work because they can't get health insurance anymore, people, women losing the right to choose possibly,
sure.
Good Lord, you know, I mean, there are huge things that say gay people, LGBT people losing rights, marriages being like suddenly wiped out. And we just don't know. And hopefully it doesn't come to 90% of that.
Can you imagine? I mean, I cannot imagine that in particular. Like the idea that just your marriage would just suddenly not exist.
Yeah. That is.
God, that just guts me to think about that.
Yeah, it's inhuman. It really is. And again, the people in the Republican Party take Obamacare, for example, who wanted so badly to get rid of it, are starting to realize what a ginormous shit field they're walking into. Yeah. Because yeah. it is coming back already. I mean, there's been great... there was a video out of Colorado of a lawmaker who was supposedly having like kind of a town hall with people in his district, and like 17 times more people than they expected showed up.
Wow.
And then he literally snuck out the back door before it was over, and they would only let people in two at a time. They wouldn't let the whole group in because they were all there to tell him why they don't want Obamacare repealed.
Wow.
And so he split, and it was, and there was video of him walking out, and it was just completely crazy because I get, you know, I mean, 20 million more people. Look, yeah. Obamacare has all kinds of problems. I've been talking to people this week for a workplace column I'm writing about this, how it's affecting freelance workers and that sort of thing. And a lot of the people I talk to aren't thrilled with it because it's had problems. You know, they've had to see doctors they didn't want to see. Their mm-hmm. rates have been kind of high sometimes, although still not as high as private insurance. So not perfect, but all of these people are like worried in some cases that they're going to die because if yeah. it gets repealed. I mean, a couple people have had, like, I talked to one person who's had a transplant, and, you know, these are very serious issues. And when this starts to, if they really do manage to pull this away, it's not just the pulling away, actually. I mean, at this point, the frustration among a lot of people, I think, is, okay, you've had 8 years to come up with a replacement. What is your replacement?
Yeah, what's your plan, bro?
Nobody knows. Even if they do have one, which I don't believe they do.
No one knows it.
Nobody knows what it is. And so that is terrifying.
Yeah, I believe
people.
They also
I mean, that is, like, pants-crappingly scary for people because they don't know.
I love pants-crappingly scary.
They don't know what.
They don't know what happens after that.
Right, right.
And the real issue is less to me about the system and more about the costs of healthcare and how completely inaccessible and out of reach. Like, what could be $150,000 at one hospital might be $50,000 at another.
Right.
And that's not okay. We've got to figure that out. That's mm-hmm. really a problem. And the fact that you... Royal you, people, all of us could have to say, like, change the course of your life to just, and your dreams and ambition just because you can't swing that. I mean, yeah. I know a lot of people right now having conversations like, you know what? Fuck it. It's worth the fine on my taxes. I'm just not going to have insurance. Mm-hmm. Fuck it. I'm young and healthy. Fuck it. But like, we're not 20. You know, we're yeah. really not. Yeah. And also, shit can happen anytime. Like, I know somebody sure, yeah. about a decade ago who slipped on the ice, cracked her elbow, didn't have insurance, and ended up needing so much surgery that she had to declare bankruptcy. She's still feeling still feeling all that.
Yeah.
And that's affected her, like, that's her credit. That's her ability to be employed in some places. Like, she works in a public sector kind of job. So that's, like, part of, she's had to explain that many times, like why she's had to declare bankruptcy and all this. Like, that's profoundly changed her life because she slipped on the damn ice.
Yeah. No, absolutely. It is. And yeah, a lot of people, it's not, again, Obamacare is not perfect, but a lot of people blame Obamacare and aren't blaming the medical, you know, the cost.
I'm telling
of
you, if it had a different damn name, like yeah. if it would have actually gone by its name of Affordable Care Act, mm-hmm. or if I were in charge of PR for that, I would have never let it be called Obamacare. I would have made it, like, force the issue to make it be called something else.
Rush Limbaugh Care?
Anything. Because that makes people hate it on principle
yeah,
without
exactly.
even knowing it. I cannot tell you how many examples are floating around the internet right now of screen grabs of comment threads of people like, I don't care if Obamacare goes away. I'm on the Affordable Care Act.
Right.
Guess what?
Yeah.
You're an idiot.
Yeah.
Like, that's the same thing.
Yeah.
It's
no,
just
it's,
ugh,
it's staggering.
Staggering how, yeah. how many people do not understand the difference of that.
And also, I mean, honestly, it's staggering and the efforts by Republicans and right-wing radio, talk radio people and every other person to delegitimize it, to demonize it, was horrible. I will, however, say the Obama administration's inability to get people to understand that,
yeah.
given the resources that they had and the
it's
platform
surprisingly
that they had,
weird.
Yeah, it's really shocking to me. I'm like, there should not be an American alive who doesn't get that Obamacare and ACA are the same thing. I mean, the messaging on that
yeah.
was so horrible.
I'm with you on that.
Again, and especially coming from a president who's an amazing communicator and all this blah, blah, blah. That's one of the things where that was one of my biggest disappointments is I'm like, how in the hell did you get outflanked on this by literally by idiots? I mean, like
yeah.
people who were just like Sarah Palin saying death panels or whatever.
Death
and like,
panels.
And you're like,
oh,
no. You've got the resources to shoot that down. You've got people. Go send, like I was saying, send people into communities to talk to people and get them to understand this. But it just never happened. And I think that was really one of the big downfalls of the whole thing, is that the messaging was crap. The thing's not perfect either, but
yeah.
if you had messaged it right and it hadn't turned into this tyrannical blah, 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 you would have had more states cooperate. You would have had greater cooperation. I mean, it was never meant to be 100% right and perfect the first time. It was meant to be, blah, here it is, and now let's fix it, and now let's get it better and improve it. Anyway.
I just wrote down tyrannical blah, blah.
So that's my alt country band's name.
Rex Hupke and the Tyrannical Blah Blahs.
Yes, exactly.
I like it. Opening band, the Mansplainers.
Yes. There's got to be a band called the Mansplainers out there. There has to be. I'm sure of it.
If there's not, you're starting it this afternoon, my friend.
With their hit, actually. actually, dot, dot, dot.
With their new album, Well, Actually. What would their second album be?
What's another great pivot into mansplaining?
Here's what you have to understand.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, here's what you're right. Exactly. Here's
I'm just sitting here like, what have people said to me on Facebook lately? Here's what you have to understand.
Let me break this down for you.
Ah, that's good. That's the third album.
Yeah, because it's like the in parentheses there in a language you'll understand. You know, that's really what they're trying to say.
Here, little girl, let me explain the things to you. It's my favorite.
Let me distill my man words down into easy to understand.
Well, I think we just started a media empire, Rex Hupke. The record label begins.
Yes.
Because, you know, this racket may dry up, so sure. All right. Well, when we meet again, the inauguration will have happened.
President Donald Trump?
It's hard to say that. I want to say, get that name out your mouth. Yeah. But it's fact.
It is.
And so I'm not going to be, I feel like that's a little belligerent to just be like, I'm not going to say it.
Yeah, no, I'm not buying into that crap. I don't like that at all.
Right.
Not my president, blah, blah. I'm like, look, I understand you're pissed. I'm pissed.
We're all pissed.
I'm scared. I'm horribly worried for a lot of different people.
But in fact, it will do nothing to to make such an effort to say him or Voldemort. A lot of people are saying Voldemort. Again, use your effort to make an impact. That's all I'm asking. Use the effort to make it. Don't save it to be funny on social media unless you're Hupke and you bleed funny. But just put the effort into write the letter, call the lawmaker, do the thing, stay on top of issues. I keep talking about the Countable app. It's so useful because it will text you every time some shit is going down.
Yeah.
It's really useful.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Do something that matters, not just bitch.
And you know what? I think I might even write.
This show's giving me a migraine.
I might think about doing a column on this, actually, now that I think about it. Aha. Uh-huh. No, but seriously. Michelle Obama's, when they go low, we go high.
Yeah.
We got to remember that because, man, it's been low for 8 years, okay? People going low, and it's driven a lot of people, myself included, nutso. And if we just flip right around and do the same damn thing, we're not any better than them. And I'm sorry, we're not. I mean, I don't care. I understand, in my opinion and the opinion of many, the facts are very different in this case, and the individuals, Obama versus Trump, are extremely different. But it's still the same thing. You know, being kind of a jerk is still being kind of a jerk. Not respecting the office of the president is still not respecting the office of the president. So I just encourage, I screw it up. I step over. I do it. And then I'm mad at myself when I do. So all I'm saying is I think people need to do their best to rein that in. And that's why I agree. I'm not going to shy away from calling him President Trump. That's what he is.
Yeah.
He won. I don't care what the circumstances were until there's somebody comes out with, criminal evidence that it was somehow rigged or something happened.
He's
the damn president.
Even then, until he is formally unseated replaced by the next president.
Yeah.
Or I'd say and or replaced by the next president. That's the title.
Yeah. I don't think he should be treated any differently than I would want someone who I like treated in that position. And as we've said many times here, hey, look, if he starts doing things right, then I'm going to be there clapping and saying good job. And when he's doing things that I think are wrong, I'm going to stomp my feet and yell and write and, that sort of thing about it. People to do things also and encourage people to do things. But no, I mean, we have to – it's who he is. I'm not even – honestly, a lot of these lawmakers that are skipping the inauguration, I don't even like that personally. What are you trying to do? What good does
that do? I agree with you. I think it's not useful. I think you should go as – I think that's part of your job, honestly, to go to things like that.
Yeah, it's the – I mean, look –
You don't have to like it.
It's bigger than, you know,
I'm not asking you to go and hold a damn Confederate flag.
Right. Yeah. I mean, people bagged on.
I don't think you're showing solidarity for him. I think you are, in fact, to go. I think you are showing respect for the dignity of the office that you hold and the one you're watching. Like, it's also like the De Niro eyes, where you point at your eyes and point at someone else's eyes. It's like, I'm here and I'm a part of this country too. I'm not just leaving you to your cronies.
Right.
I'm a part of this and I have a seat at the table, and I will be one of the people to whom you are accountable.
Right. And you're also showing your constituents that you will be there. And that, so I that's bothered me, and I don't.
I agree.
Yeah. I mean, all the arguments for why they're not going, I agree with, but I still think you go. I mean, I think that this is bigger than any person. This is an important thing. It's an important moment every 4 years for the country, and I think you go. But whatever.
It's like when people are like, I refuse to say the cell. I'm going to keep saying Comiskey. That's fine.
Right. The Willis, or the Sears
the
Tower.
Sears, the Willis Tower. It's one thing of like when you keep writing 2016 on your check, or like your writes a check, but like on the whatever you're writing.
Yeah.
That's just getting used to something. Like I said Sears at first too when it switched to Willis.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, it's the Willis. Officially on paper, it is the Willis Tower, and we must call it.
We must abide by that.
Whether we like it or not. Until it is the Guth Tower.
Yeah.
I don't want a Guth Tower. Yeah. Anyway. So when we meet
just
again.
FYI.
I'm not looking for a tower.
Yes, if anybody was thinking of.
And if I ever had a damn tower, I wouldn't put my name on the fucking side of it. That's for sure. Yeah. And if I did, I would use a better font than the one sitting across the river from us right now.
Thumbing its nose at us.
But I am enjoying all of you that are continually walking by, flipping it off and posting that to Instagram as part of your daily commute.
Yeah.
I'm proud that that continues.
Yes. And I think it will continue.
Good job, lack of American apathy.
Yes.
You show that tower your middle finger. And tourists get a kick out of it. I've seen like many people outside of the tower like with posing, like whole families posing their middle finger at the Trump sign on the tower.
Yeah, it's what brings us together as a people.
I mean, there is some like bonding that comes from like common enemies and
Oh yeah, totally,
that starts in kindergarten. Oh, you don't like that girl in the sandbox? I don't like her either. Let's be friends.
Yeah,
that's right. A thing.
Exactly.
But nonetheless, when we meet again, the inauguration will have happened, the marches will have happened, and I hope that everybody is more engaged than ever. So again, let the marches be but a pep rally, and let them focus you on all the work that needs to be done, and let them introduce you to people that need help and support, and let's help each other by using our social media platforms, not so much to bitch, but to give each other clear actions, like posting scripts of things you can say when you call your lawmakers, or actions that are needed in states like Kentucky when rights are being overturned, things like that. So that is what I leave you with. Until next time, this has been Guth and Hupke on Politics.